Are you ready now? Be my queen, just take your love. All you need, but to you. Anything you want, my girl. Anywhere you want, my love.
Hi, guys. So, yeah, I'm back, and I'm here embarking on a new journey that is this podcast, Wine and Uncorked Chronicles. Now, this isn't going to be a very long episode today. I just wanted to give you a little bit of what to expect in the upcoming season that is my podcast. So for starters, of course, I'm sure the people who have listened to my previous podcast, Wellness with Sylvie, are probably wondering, okay, so this sounds quite different to the whole wellness thing that you were trying to get into back then. I know that. And the reason why I have decided to do that is I just feel as though wellness is one part of something I love. It's a part of my life, a big part of my life. Of course, I practice yoga and I try to preach wellness as much as I can. But that's just one side of me. And I have a lot more to talk about because I think that there's been a very interesting period of my life where so much has happened, where I have made some very key decisions. And I thought that there have been some interesting things that have happened along this journey. And it made me look back and I realized that there's a lot of things that have happened on my life journey. And so I'm embarking on this new adventure with you because I would like to share everything with you. Well, everything comes with a disclaimer. I'm not going to read that out right now. But essentially, this episode is going to be all about tasting the unknown. So the way I analogize it is like moving to a new country. It's kind of like opening a bottle of wine that you've never tried before, right? So there's a mix of excitement. Of course, there's this whole element of the unknown. And just as a new wine kind of reveals itself with every sip that you have, your experience in this new place just unfolds step by step. So there's aspects that are scary. There's things that are really exciting. There's realities you face that you never thought that you would face, especially moving somewhere as an adult. And opening this bottle of wine kind of gives you the same feeling as moving to or doing something that is not really known. So actually, guess what, guys? I have a question that I would like you to answer in the comments. So here we are, drum roll. What are some flavors or aspects of any new adventure that you've discovered so far? Any surprises or moments that made you appreciate the new unique taste of this chapter of your life? So I'll repeat the question. What are some flavors or aspects of any adventure that you've discovered so far? So any surprises or moments that made you appreciate the unique taste of that specific chapter in your life? Leave a comment in the comment box below because we're going to get into these hopefully in the next few episodes when I have people who are actually listening to what I have to say, if at all, because God knows, I don't know. I don't know if I'm even interesting in the first place. I'm just here talking to a microphone on my own like a mad person, but hey, what do you do? All in the name of podcasting, right? So we're going to take a break and then we're really going to get into this episode.
Well, I ain't sure, but I think this girl is dangerous, dangerous. Could she be on my mind? Last night was fabulous.
So I moved to Germany. That's the big thing that really happened. That's exactly what I did. I moved to a new country. I opened a bottle of wine. Actually, there's one sitting right next to me and a glass that I am thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying. So, again, welcome to my podcast. This is episode one, Tasting the Unknown, my move to Germany. Wow. People, when I tell you it was a panache of emotions that were coming at me like, I don't know, flies to shit or something. It was crazy. I went through just about every single emotion you could possibly imagine the human body is capable of having. when I moved here, and that's for various reasons, various reasons. So I'm going to get into it. And I'm not going to go into too much detail because we could be here for hours. And quite frankly, I'm not trying to keep you here for hours because it's, yeah, there's nothing that's that entertaining. Come on. I'm not a stand-up comedian. I'm just somebody here chatting to you guys. So moved to Germany, and a bit of context behind how that happened. The answer is it was for love. It was for love. And before I go there, at the time I'd been living in Kenya, and I had moved back from the UK in the end of 2016. So 2017 was kind of the new chapter that began there. And like, I was on the phone with a friend of mine, and he was like, man, I miss those days. 2017 was the glory year for Nairobi, and I'm 100% in agreement. Of course, I know there's a bias because I just moved back, and so it was new and exciting and different. But imagine, I was 23 years old, so you're just at the right age where you're old enough to do your own thing, but you're still somehow, you know, your mindset is not really like I'm adulting. For the most part, I lived with my parents, but then I also moved out onto my own. That was the first taste of proper adulting that I experienced when I really learned what the price of tissue paper is. because suddenly those are things you just have to buy for yourself, right? But essentially I was 23 at the time, and I was living young, wild, and free. And so it was the kind of thing where you go out on a Thursday, because that's what 23-year-olds can do and survive to tell the story the next day while sit at their desks working. Eyes red, but still powering through. That is a thing of the past, guys. We are 30 now. And by we, I'm talking about me and all my personalities. We've all just decided, you know what? we're going to adult, and we're going to do this, and we're going to make it fun. And this is also part of the reason why I began this podcast, because I said, you know what? What's the worst that could happen? You know? What's really could happen that would go so terribly wrong with me talking about these things, experiences, having conversations, growing? I think that that's also something that I hope to achieve with this podcast. So glory days. Yeah, so you go out on a Thursday, and that place you go on a Thursday was called Jay's. If you know, you know, guys. Jay's was the melting pot of Nairobi's kind of, you know, where I would say Kenyans and expats really met, because for those of you who don't know, Thursday night lives at Jay's was the place to be. If you're not there, what are you even doing? What are you even doing? Thursday nights at Jay's? We're going to have a lot of conversations to talk about that, but Jay's was just this fantastic, like, feeling. It was a lovely place to go on a Thursday, and they had these, like, you know, bands from different places in Africa, and, like, you know, these upcoming African bands. I love that it was always focused on, like, bands that are trying to come up, right? So it was giving musicians, like, a platform where they could come and showcase their music, and it was almost always Africans, and that's really cool, you know. So power to my peeps. It was essentially just good vibes. It was like this outdoorsy vibe. You know, you had three bars. One was outside, two were inside. You had the band playing on stage, and it was free entry. So really it was open to anyone. So it was a very eclectic bunch of people who would come, because the vibe was just perfect. You know, everything. It was such a, oh my God. Sometimes I ask myself if I would still do that if it was open. And the thing is, I'll never know, because it's not open, and I don't live in Kenya anymore anyway. And that brings me back to moving to this country. So living my glory days, or what I think were the glory days. And the biggest segue to this is the place where this Jay's place that I speak about is a place where I met the person I live with today in Germany. I moved here for this person, and things kind of just unfolded from there. So it's very interesting how it got to the point where I was fully legal, guys. fully not infringing on the society. And not because I actually didn't, but just because I went down a route that is, let's just say, a bit risky. It opened up a lot of, it opened up so much stuff, guys. When I tell you that the dust I've eaten in the last year, that humbled by the immigration authorities, humbled. And to be honest, like, I had come to visit my partner at the time. I was freelancing for a German company, and I just happened to kind of get the feeling that things were not going so well. So obviously the first people who are kind of stopped from working are like the externals, right? So all the freelancers were kind of told, yeah, so we're not gonna, we're gonna end the project now. So essentially I had kind of seen that coming. And I had been in kind of talks with the person who is my boss now. I was my boss in the second company I moved to as a result of him reaching out to me on LinkedIn. And so I had already began kind of opening that conversation, went through the whole interview process. I remember telling my partner, by the way, I'm at this stage. And he was like, oh my goodness, it's looking likely that this could happen. And of course, the biggest negotiation was, I will move to this company so long as you can guarantee that you're going to support me with the whole visa process, right? So I was here on a Schengen visa. I got a job offer whilst I was here on said Schengen visa. And the thing is, that is not something that people like for it to happen that way, because they don't want to encourage people here coming on tourist visas and then staying to work without going through the proper bureaucratic process. However, the loophole that I found was that if you get a job offer whilst here on a tourist visa, you can be exempt from doing the full process, and you can, you can essentially then transition into being a working resident. And so that was a loophole I decided to have. My visa was at the point until, I think it was ending, it was expiring at the 24th of September. And this was now June. And then I got this other job. We started the kind of blue card application process. And at that point, everything kind of was working out really well. You know, the employer supports you with certain documents. You have to go and register your address. You have to, what else? You get your what do you call it? Your health insurance, your tax ID, all these things, social security. And the crazy thing about all of this is, even whilst all of this was happening, there was no point at which any of the people who worked there said to me, oh, you're on a Schengen visa. You can't do this unless you start with a proper D visa, which is the visa that they give people temporarily when they move here as a working visa. So it gives you the right to work here as you wait for your permanent residence card to come out. Not your permanent residence, like your work visa. So they call it a blue card here. And so you see, the requirements for that is that you have to be earning a certain amount. You have to have an employer that is supporting you with this and says that they employed you for the full time, so a contract. You need to show that you have health insurance. You need to show that you have, tax ID, social security number, a bank account. You need to kind of have your degrees. When they make it, like, they want to see the equivalent of what it would be. And then they have to do this thing where they say, is there somebody who can do this job that isn't an expat, you know? So we're not just giving out jobs left, right, and center. So it's a whole web of absolute bureaucratic BS. I'm just going to say that. And so there was no point in which anyone flagged, oh, you know, you're on a Schengen visa. We don't know if this is something you can actually do, but nobody said anything. So anyway, I've put in the application. They tell you, okay, due to the backlog from COVID, you can't just walk in. You are now going to be given an appointment. The appointments can take from 6 to 8 weeks to be given to you. 6 to 8 weeks. My brothers, did I not just tell you that my Schengen visa is coming to an end on September 24th and we're like in June? you know, that 6 to 8, like what the, you know, like in my head, I was trying to do the math, but the math was not mathing. And I'm like, okay, we can still do this. We have some time. So let's hope that it happens quicker because, you know, we were seeing other people's kind of situations were also moving. But they had told me, this authority will give you help. They will put you through work. They will make you sweat. And my God, guys, I sweated bricks so big that anyone's back would crumble. It's insane. It's absolutely crazy. And so before I get into that, I want to kind of rewind again. So it was Nairobi, Jays. I met my partner. And of course, the events that happened from then to post-COVID are simply one for its own episode. Long story short, we were together. I came to Germany 2019. I visited him, saw his side of life. He came back, broke up, and we were not together for one whole year. And then we got back together in the beginning of 2021. And then we decided to try and make things work. And so that's how I came to Germany to visit him. And on that note, we'll take a short break.
Well, I ain't sure, but I think this girl is dangerous. Dangerous. Could she be on my mind? Last night was fabulous.
So I am drinking Yellowtail Shiraz. So I decided to have some wine, and we're going to talk a bit about that wine before I get back into the juicy. I started reading what they say about this, the more information. The powerful Shiraz from the Yellowtail shimmers into the glass with a dense purple color. Poured into a red wine glass, this red wine from Australia presents wonderfully expressive aromas of blackcurrant, mulberry, blueberry, and blackberry, rounded off by its rich aroma. I don't care. It tastes good. It works. Yellowtail, affordable wine. Yeah, it's like a, yeah, you know, let's just take it easy. Let's just talk, guys. And here we are, we're back, guys. That's how I came to visit him, because now we had begun kind of exploring this long distance relationship. And we basically decided to make it work. I came here, got the job offer. So that's when the whole kind of thing kind of took off. It was actually 2022, I correct myself. So in 2022, the plan was to stay here for 3 months, then go home. But then I got the job offer. So now I'm at the point where I put in the application and I'm waiting for 6 weeks. So within the time of waiting, I had 3 months, because my new job was starting in October, to basically just, do the summer here, which was incredible because it was so hot. Went to different countries, went to Amsterdam to visit a friend of mine. Shout out, Tina, you know yourself. Went to Denmark. I went to, where else did we go? Greece again, Tina, shout out. I think that's about it. And so, of course, there was quite a few trips that was a lot of fun. So I really got to enjoy my summer. I got to meet new people, started kind of cultivating some friendships here. And I was just kind of getting into the flow of things. But of course, there was still this feeling of, I'm going to start a new job. I've not really gone home. I've not really said bye to people. You know, it's kind of, and if I leave the Schengen while my application is processing, it basically resets it, and I would have to begin everything from home, and that would take months. Oh, it would take months. And so I decided on the path less traveled that brought me a lot more hell than I had to endure. So I'm waiting now. I haven't heard back from the authorities. I'm basically visiting these people every week, at least once. I finally get my appointment. I go there. And I'm like, oh, thank God, it's over. I have my passport picture, everything. I'm ready to just be told, okay, you're going to get this sent to the post within the next couple of weeks. I get there, the lady's like, passport, give her my passport. She's like, this is a Schengen visa. You can't put an application in. So I was like, that's not what I was told, because I found a exception section, blah, 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 after blah, blah, blah. Yeah, guys, I went into the law because, like, yeah, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Anything to make my life easier in quotes at that point in time. So she's like, no, you can't. Then she gives me a letter saying I basically would need to leave the Schengen by latest November 28th. And I'm like, holy shit, what do you mean if my thing isn't processed? And she's like, you can't do this. So suddenly I'm starting to have the craziest heavy feeling in my chest, like anxiety has kicked in. It has walked through the building and it's here to stay. And so I'm also just like super riled up, and I'm like pretty, you know, I'm pretty adamant about what I'm saying to her about this exception. And of course, there's no point getting heated in these situations because you will never win. You will never win. When it comes to what, like dealing with government officials, child, you will never win. You will lose 10 times out of 10, especially if you think that you know more than them. So that was also a learning point for me, really. So now they said, okay, so get this letter. If the immigration police come to your house, show them this letter. You might then be asked to either leave the country or make a statement as to why, blah, blah, blah. And let's just hope that between my blue card application going in and now being referred to a different authority to check if this is something that we can even move forward with, that it's legitimate, that it's a good job, and that, you know, I'm basically not here under the pretense of like just trying to get into the Schengen. It's been referred there. So I ask, how long might this take? They're like, we'll call you, we'll email you. And I'm like, do you understand the turmoil that I'm currently going through? What do you mean you're going to call me? And here, basically, you're telling me illegally, I've put in an application to get a blue card for a job that you're telling me doesn't look legitimate, or you can't do it because I've done it the wrong way, which could potentially mean that the immigration cops are going to come show up at my door and kick me the hell out and just shame me to the whole world. You got deported. Ooh, girl, what did you do? You know, people will be looking at me like, what the hell? How do you get deported? Like, why didn't you just come home and do it the right way? And it's like, in my head, this was the right way. Well, we would see very soon that would be the opposite. So 1 week passes, then I decide I'm going to go to the, it's the employment agency in Germany. And I'm going to go there and find out what the hell is happening with this application of mine. Because now at this point, I'm just done waiting. I'm done just, there's nothing I'm doing except twiddling my fingers and, you know, just, yeah, it's summertime. So what else are you going to do? Just go outside, sit in the sun and drink a beer. No lie. Take a sip of my wine. Oof, that's good. And so I go there and they're like, oh, you can't just walk in. You have to make an appointment. She's like, okay, call or email this number or this email. So I decided to email. They're like, okay, what's your date of birth? Can passport, blah, blah, blah. So I tell them and then they email me back like, your application was sent back to the immigration authorities 3 days ago. I'm like, what? What do you mean it was sent back 3 days ago? I've been waiting for weeks. And this is now when you tell me, when I have emailed you several times to find out. And it's like, I'm like, what is going on? So time goes by. I don't hear from the immigration authorities, even though they said that they would call me. And I'm trying not to get on anyone's nerves. But the way my head is thinking and the people I'm talking to, they're like, you have to go there. Like, you have to just fight through this. And oh, by the way, if I fail to mention, they don't rate people who don't speak German. If you don't speak German, you're in the trenches. You're in the trenches with everyone else who's trying their best to make these people who are working in government understand their dilemmas. And the crazy thing is, it got to the point where I think I had a week where I had to leave. I had just about 1 week that I was basically then going to be properly illegal. Like, I've crossed over the time where I would have been okay to leave. And now you're going to be banned from the EU. That's now where the point we'd gotten to. So what happened is my partner and I then went on a mission to find out what can we do. So speaking to people, then somebody told us about emergency appointments that you can get, and they give them out sporadically. And you just come in at 8 a.m., you're given a ticket, then you go and ask what you need to ask. And they happen super early in the morning. And we kept calling and trying to get it, refreshing the internet page. And then I think the Sunday night before, you know, like it was a Monday, we got an appointment. So we're like, let's just do it. Let's just take this one. So we got there 8 in the morning. And when I tell you that that room was filled with people, with lawyers, because of course they needed the lawyers to either intervene in these like cases that regarding discrimination, so on and so forth, or just somebody who can be there to translate or to have the conversation and be more assertive. Because if you go there with your "I don't speak German" thing, they just are like, okay, so this conversation is going nowhere. I'm moving on. And that's just how, it's just the trenches. And it was shocking to see, because I was there with my partner, and he's German, obviously. And he was like, okay, they call my number, we go up there. We're like, this is the case file. I got told by the employment agency that my case came back here. And you see, because there's no communication happening, the person who we're now speaking to, the teller at the window, she's like, yeah, the last information I see from this date was that you have to leave on 28th. And I'm like, no, I know that information. But listen, when they referred my case to the employment agency, they were supposed to make a decision about if I count to apply for the blue card and if my application can be processed. And this is why this has been done. And at that point, my partner steps in, and of course he's got to now, he puts in a bit of like, yeah, no, seriously, get serious. We need to know what the answer is, because you're just sending us in many different directions. We need to know. So I think she finally was like, okay, this person means business, right? So she calls the case handler, my file handler, and the file handler is like, yeah, I'll email them this afternoon. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I can't do this other email. So at that point, I just break down. I'm crying. I'm like, trying to make arrangements with my friend who lives in the UK. And I remember messaging her being like, look, this is the situation I'm in. I have a UK visa. Can I just come there on this day as we sort out this, you know, from there and figure it out? And she was really like, God bless you. She was very open to it and really helpful. And then a couple of hours past 2:30 p.m., I think around, I get an email from the authority saying, your blue card application has been approved and has been successful. We're going to give you an appointment to come, do your fingerprints, bring a picture, and all the things that you're supposed to happen next. And they're like, we'll give you an appointment a month from now. So then it was now December. Oh, Jesus, John. And the plan was to go home for Christmas. I'd even rebooked my ticket. Oh, I didn't get the appointment till the 22nd, I believe, or something. I had or something like that, just before Christmas. They did everything. Then I was like, oh, okay, so now that I've gotten everything sorted, can I go home for Christmas? They're like, you don't actually have the physical card, and you don't have like the other visa that should have been allowed to get an exception for. So if you leave the EU, you're screwed. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Not only am I not going to see my family, but I'm losing a nice amount of money that I spent on this bloody flight. Can you believe the angst that is just coming over me, one thing after the other? There was literally no break. And mind you, guys, I was supposed to have started my job October 1st. This is December. I started on a freelancer basis when they were like, your application is a failure. My work was like, dude, you need to stop working now, because if it looks like you've worked now, and you worked for as a, you know, on a different tax level, then you would basically have to pay like a crazy amount of tax, and the company could get into problems. So I had to stop working, and I was just twiddling my thumbs waiting for this. And then I basically couldn't come home for Christmas. Imagine, I couldn't come home. And of course it was very, very upsetting, but either way, this is what I learned with this whole experience. One, you just have to learn how to beat the system. You have to try your best to do things as correctly as possible to ensure you don't get in problems. So just comply, right? But also you need to have like your limits, because I think you need to have somebody who can help you. Friends, when I tell you that this has been the most humbling experience, what I felt, I've never felt more illegal in my life. I was to the point where I was asking myself, like, am I really doing the right thing here? Am I really fighting? Am I actually in the wrong and I'm going to get deported and then it's on me for making the stupidest decision? But I pushed through and I proved a point. The most important thing is that I proved a point. I proved that it can happen. It's hellfire. It's not a way I would recommend for people to do it again. Honestly, just do it the correct way. Like, honestly, I think that a great thing about this outlet that I have now with you guys, being able to share these stories with you, it gives me an opportunity to reflect and to look back and to also laugh, because there were times that it was just so comical how crazy these things were. And, you know, just navigating the whole panache of life that comes with moving here and then having this extra layer of absolute red tape just pressing down on you like a ton of bricks waiting to just end you. And you are fighting it, that, trying to make friends, trying to integrate. You're now at the point where you're like, oh, I'm going to now start trying to learn this language so that I can integrate even better. Trying to make your own friends, you know, moving here specifically for somebody. The things that I realize are really important is that I also needed to have my own group of friends. And the beautiful thing is that because my partner and I, you know, we share a lot of the same kind of mindset. And so when I was meeting his friends, his guy friends, what happened is I now then started to become friends with their significant others. And so, you know, now we have friendships that we can have outside of the guys, which I think is really nice. It took time to get here, but it really feels like it's solidifying into something that is quite fantastic, quite honestly. And that's what tasting the unknown for me was. And you know what? If I ask myself, would I change the way things happened? I would tell you no, because then I would never have the story to say. I'd never have this chance to tell you such an interesting thing that has happened. And I think that's just life. Life is about garnering these moments where you're able to look back, gathering them and sharing them with the people that you care about the most. And there was something really amazing that Dave Chappelle said, I think on his most recent special. He said he thanked the audience for helping, or rather for sharing his dream. And I thought that was really powerful. Thank you for allowing me to share your dream with me, or something of the sort. Just something really profound. And you listening up to this point, OG, for not dropping off, but you are the reason that I'm able to feel comfortable enough to come out into the world and just tell the story, because you've told me that there's something worth speaking about and there's something that could be fun, you know, and I'm looking to have fun while doing this. And so guys, on that note, that was Tasting the Unknown. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Cheers. I hope you guys enjoyed the first episode of my new podcast, and I want to thank you for being a part of this exploration into the unknown with me. If you've enjoyed the journey, don't forget to raise your glass, leave a like, share your thoughts, let me know your favorite moment. Until next time, continue savoring the richness of life's mysteries. This is Sylvie signing off from Wine and Uncorked Unicles. See you on the next episode.